Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, recruiting animal here on May 25, 2016. And today, before we get going, I want to talk a little about practice, practicing what you do, practicing what your skill is. I was reading an article about Bobby Bowman. He was Michael Phelps' coach. And Michael Phelps, as you might remember, was an Olympic swimmer. Maybe he still is. He won a lot of medals, right? And Bobby, his coach, he said that Mike practiced more than anyone he's ever known. He practiced 365 days a year, including all the holidays. And Bobby Bowman says that this was one of the keys to his success. And the idea there is that you practice so much that after a while, you automatically do what has to be done. You don't have to think about it. You just let yourself go, and it's automatic. Well, this article was written by a public speaking coach, and his name is Carmine Gallo. And he himself spoke to a woman with a funny name, Jill Bolt Taylor. And he says she gave one of the most popular TED Talks ever. Now, I don't know anybody who watches TED Talks anymore, but this woman gave a popular one, and she told Carmine that she practiced her presentation 200 times, 200. So Carmine says that most business leaders haven't practiced for all of their presentations combined 200 times, and they wonder why they're not making a sale or even connecting with an audience. Well, I got a couple of things to say about that. And the first thing is that if you're not making any sales, you're not a business leader. That's a garbage term that everybody uses these days. And you know why? Just to glorify their jobs. These guys are obviously losers. He calls them business leaders. The next thing I want to say is that you often hear recruiters on this show say that they don't have a script. They just say whatever suits the specific conversation. Well, you know that's not true. Of course they have a script. They don't have to read it like a robot because it's already in their heads. They've had the same conversation so many times that it's just there and it comes out automatically. And because they don't have to think about what they're going to say, they have time to think of things that suit the current conversation. They can ad lib and modify their script as they go. And now, Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! You're welcome.
That was a good show.
Thank you. I work on it. I practice it in the shower. You know that.
Yeah, you practice. You practice.
Well, I do practice.
Yeah.
200 times.
Yeah, you're one of the guys who claim that you don't have a script.
I've got
you
no script.
Say, yes,
no,
you do.
No,
I
don't.
I said my piece already.
Yeah, okay. Let me say my piece.
Go ahead.
You don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Oh, give me a break.
Script.
Yeah.
Dude, you might need a script your first, 5 or 6 months in recruiting or any sales position. But after a while, you should just know your product and have a discussion with people. I haven't had a script in 30 years.
Something to realize. You're saying the exact same thing I did. Okay. Anyway.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Let's go on to our guest.
I do not have a script. Are you saying that you do?
Everybody does.
No, they don't.
Every accomplished person has a script.
Baloney.
Okay. I want to move on. Let's ask our guests what they think. They're accomplished people. At least they claim to be on their multiple LinkedIn profiles. We've got Blake Warner, and I don't know how to pronounce the other name. Omid Tispa, is that right? You guys can talk now.
It's Omid.
Omid.
Yeah, how you doing, everybody?
How you doing, everybody? How about that?
Good.
How you doing, Animal? Okay. So Omid
is
here. All
right, how you doing, Animal?
Okay, Omid, put the mic a little closer to your mouth. That's the thing in the middle of your face. Put it there so we can hear you. That's all I'm asking. What about
Blake? He's
getting
some professional tips right off the bat.
Yeah, is Blake there? Is Blake there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay.
Hi, Blake.
There.
How you doing?
How
living the dream. How you doing?
Yeah, he's living
the dream. I'm doing wonderful.
Yeah, okay. So did you guys prepare a song? We usually sing at the beginning.
I mean, as far as a song goes, we can pick one.
Well,
I didn't necessarily
go ahead.
All right. Huh. Well, let's see. What
you guys from Jersey?
You
guys from Jersey?
No, I'm in Utah.
They're both in Utah, Jerry.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, look.
Wow, that's kind of a thick Jersey accent for Utah.
I'll pick a song. You know, higher.
I was
going to
recommend some Bon Jovi or maybe some Springsteen for these Jersey guys transplanted in Utah.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on with the show. Do you know Higher and Higher?
Wait,
you
got
to answer
Higher
me.
And Higher?
Yeah. Okay.
They're in Utah,
no,
dude.
No,
they
don't
know anything about being high.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, all you got to do, you know what? We won't sing it. We'll just say the words, the main words. So I'll give you the word. You repeat them back. We just got to do it, okay?
Why aren't we singing anymore?
Because they don't know the song, Maureen, okay? That's why. So just say, you repeat after me. Your love is lifting me higher.
Your love is lifting me higher.
Than I've ever been lifted before.
Before.
Than I've ever been lifted before.
So keep it up and quench my desire.
So keep it up and quench my desire.
And I'll be at your side. I'll be at your side forevermore, okay? Just get that in.
I'll be at your side forevermore.
Do you know who wrote that? Do you know who wrote that?
Pulling up Audacity now.
No,
Edgar
I don't.
Allan
who did?
Poe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, these two guys, we had a guy named Anthony DeBerry on the show a few weeks ago. After the show was finished, I got complaints that this guy was working for a company, a recruiting firm, with a unique organization that's proving very successful, and they were mad at me, this feedback, that I didn't give him a chance to talk about it. So I spoke to him. I said, you want to come back and talk about it? He said, no, but I'll give you two other guys. And here they are. Omid Tizpa. That's T-I-Z-P-A, and Blake Warner, okay? And for the Twitter, we'll use Blake's Twitter. It's Blake J. Warner. Is that okay, Blake? We'll use you. Blake
J. Warner. That's fine.
Okay, because if we could use your companies, but if, you know, if someone put something dumb about them, they might get upset. Okay, so just tell us. First of all, we've got some social media critiques for you. We'll get to that after. Omid has two LinkedIn profiles. One of them is totally dated. It's got glaring typos. You got to correct that. We like to give this advice to help people, but we'll come back to that later. So you guys start off. What is so special about Tima Group?
There's a lot that's really special. I mean, both of us have been in the corporate world for a long time, and a lot of people that have been in the corporate world and are sick of the corporate world leave and are now joining Tima. I've had a lot of people leave Robert Half's and a lot of the big engineering ones, different things. I'd say the best thing about it is, well, two best things is freedom and money. I mean, it's 80-20 splits, so 20% goes to run the back office and pay your bills, do the do accounting, everything else, invoicing, and then 80% goes to the people. And that's
okay,
all
so
the
let
bills.
Me, you know what? Let me get to the point. You're not a bad speaker, but let's get right to the point. You guys work out of your own homes, your own personal offices, and there's a central office. It's like a managed service department where they do all the bookkeeping and everything for you guys, right? Is that correct?
Yep, basically. Yep.
Okay.
And then on top of that, it does give us basically a central hub where we'd have, there's 300 people, 350 people in Tima now. And so it gives us basically a platform to be able to help everyone else with their job orders. They help me with my job orders. vice versa. So it gives us a lot of work to collaborate and work on.
Okay, so let's say you pick up a job order, Blake. Does Omid have a chance to work with you on it, or do you have to ask somebody for help? What's the relationships between the members like? What do you call the members?
We call them members.
Okay. The different members, do they work together? Can two members have the same client? Can two members pick up the same job? What's the story there?
So yes, two members can pick up the same job. But it would typically, and the really cool thing about Teama is that you can work out splits. Let's say, my specialty is call center, but let's say that technology, I wanted to do something, I picked something up where I had a buddy that has a friend for a CEO of a big technology company, and he wants, I have an in for it, but I don't know a lot about technology. Well, I can go ask someone in Teama and say, hey, do you want to kind of head this job order for me? And I can say, we'll do a 20-20 split. So 20 to me, 20 to you for the CM side. And then for the talent manager side, we'll let you, they get the original 40. So, I mean, you can work out whatever you want. There's no,
are you lost
there's
me.
No,
what are you talking about? 20, how come 20, it's not 50-50?
You lost me there.
So 20% and 20%. So the way
20%
it works
goes to the company. 20% goes to Teama.
20% goes to the company. And then 40% goes to the client manager.
What's that?
40% goes to the talent. The client managers are the people that have the job orders.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Okay,
the
so
job order
gets
20. The job order gets 40, the candidate gets 40, and then 20 to the house.
Yep, that's the way it works.
It's not rocket science, animal.
So if you wanted to work something out with someone else to help run the job order and that was a little bit more well-versed in technology, you could give 20 of your 40 away on the CM side. You could work out whatever you wanted. There's no by the book or rules that you absolutely have to follow. You can do
okay,
it
so
however
Omid,
you'd like to do
Omid
it.
Omid was working at Adecco before, right, Omid?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were at Adecco. Did you go straight from Adecco Technical and Engineering to Teama?
Okay, one second. He's been texting me. He's been having issues. He says he's talking and no one can hear him. Is he?
Let me make sure his mic is open. Oh, hold on. Omid here. His mic isn't on. He must have called back in. Okay, Omid, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. You must have hung up.
There we are.
Don't play
there
tricks
we
with
go.
Me, okay?
Woo! Yeah. I've been waiting to get on here with you. You got so much energy, and I have so much energy, and I've been waiting to jump in here, so I'm excited.
Yeah, energy fest.
Okay.
Love it.
So
yeah,
you
no,
have something. So I
well,
asked
let's
you a question.
About that.
Why?
Sure, you
why
did.
You
sure did.
Did you? Why did
what?
You join Teama?
Why did I join Teama?
Yeah, because you were with Adecco, right?
Yeah, so I've been doing this for about 20 years almost now. So I started in HR and moved my way up the ladder through doing business development on a industrial side. I've worked in every vertical, but yes, I did work for Adecco Technical and Engineering. I ran the western side of the United States for Adecco Technical and Engineering for the majority of their projects, and I handled about 5 on-sites as well in regards to the technical side of things. And implemented 3 different.
Yeah. We don't
what,
need a whole
what,
bunch
no,
of
no, no. What a commanding voice! I'm ready to just start taking notes about what I'm supposed to do now. I mean, this guy's in charge, clearly.
Okay, let him talk. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Talk. Me. Go
oh,
ahead.
I'm in charge. There's no question about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, obviously.
When you have me as a guest, I should be in charge of talking. But what I'm thinking to myself is that we can talk about my background. Yes, I've been in Adecco and all that other stuff. But why did I come to Teama? That's probably the number one thing.
That's what I asked you 5 minutes ago, okay?
I know
is this
that.
A Teama advertisement? Is that what this show is here, Animal?
Well, you know what? JD and some people, if it turns out that it's a good thing, yeah, it's an advertisement for them. But we're not promoting them. We want to find out what it is. I think you told me I should have talked about it as well.
We know what it is,
dude. Always interrupt me. Go ahead, Omid. Why did you make the move?
I'm ready.
Why did you make that move? You don't get an advance there. Do you get any advance, or is it just you support yourself?
He didn't need an advance, dude. He ran North America.
Oh, my God. Can I get a little time here, guys? Give me 1 second to answer your question. The reason why I moved over to Tima is because for the last 10 years, I've been wanting to start my own staffing agency. I've been all around the board. That's why I was trying to give you a little background on myself. And what had happened was Tima gave me the vehicle that I needed to be able to have my own LLC and have the back office support that I needed. I've had horrible back office support all the way through my career, 20 years of it. And I'll tell you one thing, Tima provides a back office support that I've never received from any other company or any other organization. So
are you saying the Deco sucks?
I would never talk bad about my old company.
I think you just did. I'm just clarifying. Is that what I heard?
The back office is not as good as where he is now. That's limited to that, Jerry, okay? But
everyone wants to do their own hiring.
What are we talking about with back office?
Thank you, Jerry.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Please answer the question.
Okay. The back office support in which I'm talking about is the everything in regards to payroll, the quickness, the turnaround time, contracts. They do RFPs for us. They'll put together presentations. They'll handle all the contracts. They'll handle all the timekeeping. They do everything that you could ever need in regards to having back office support. And for those of you that have been in this industry for a while, well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you who
hell.
Don't, then I'm sorry. But
back office is hell. I'm telling you, I'm with this guy.
Okay, Omid, hold on 1 second. Jerry runs an office that sort of the focus is placing IT people on contract. So is that what you're talking about, that that's a complex kind of bookkeeping or accounting, and they do a good job on that specifically? Is that what you mean?
No. But that is something that they do. Yes, absolutely. They absolutely
so what's the
are.
Big deal? They send out invoices for you. What am I missing here?
They send out invoices for us. They handle all of the timekeeping for us as well. But if you want to go into that side of things, that's different. I'm talking about the RFPs. You know what that is, right?
Yeah.
You know, RFPs, SOPs, SLAs, things of that sort. You know what that is, right?
Well, but go ahead. Explain it to my audience. They don't all know. There's some beginners
here. I know, but
here.
You keep interrupting me when I'm trying to explain it. And it would
you know what?
Awesome
I don't want you to go on too long about irrelevant things. I want you to focus on the nitty-gritty. You're talking in generalities. I gotta pin you down.
All right. Specifically, since you don't want me to talk in general terms, they handle everything that a back office generally handles. That's as specific as I can and get. They do
really?
Everything.
That's not specific at all. Hold on a second. Blake, can you help him out?
Yeah.
Blake,
So as far as back office, it's going to be your invoicing. It's going to be reaching out to doing collections. It's going to be doing RFPs, different things like that. Now, the difference between, the emphasis or the question you asked is what's so special about it for IT contracting, right? That was kind of what you're wanting to get at.
I thought maybe that's what he was talking about. I wasn't sure. What's so complex about?
I guess there's really not that much that's complicated in that. I mean, but one thing that Tima does do, they float the capital. I mean, that's a big thing. You don't have to float the capital on your own.
Can I just interject here?
Yeah.
Are you guys talking mostly then about staffing and contracting positions?
Yeah,
like
we
the
do
job
both.
You're filling, you're placing contractors, right?
Yeah, we place contractors and we place permanent. And then Omid and I do a lot of call center. So we do a lot of high volume, low dollar kind of stuff.
Okay, so you're talking about the payroll funding.
We
know what that
is. And especially with IT, it can get quite pricey.
Yeah.
Especially what? IT. Okay, so you're like
Jerry.
Yeah,
in IT, high dollar jobs, it can get really pricey.
Okay, so these, your contractors, do they work for Tima or do they work for you personally and then you're backed up by Tima?
They work for Tima. And then
okay.
Tima provides benefits, you know, just like a Robert Half would or.
Okay, so I don't know we've never had anyone on the show who works in call centers. Why don't you guys tell us about some of your recent
searches?
Yeah,
that's interesting. So that's high volume, low dollar call center staffing. What do you guys charge for that?
You know, it ranges. Yeah, go ahead, Omi.
No, I was just going to say it's all over the board. It depends.
Well, from what to what?
Well, I'm not going to give you specifics on that.
Why
That's
not?
Still my proprietary information, but what I can tell you
I
is
see.
This. I know, you guys don't want to hear that. You come and talk to me personally, and I might give you some of that information. But generally, what we would do is take a look. I know you don't like the word general, but we take a look at what the needs are for the client. If the client has a high volume need, and it depends on the volume, then we can do a various amount of pricing options for these clients, and that's what I specialize in. And we can do back end costs, front end costs, you know, production costs.
Non-answer.
What kind of titles are we talking about? I just want to know what titles. What kind of jobs are we talking about here?
Customer service, tech support, everything, all the way up to inside sales.
So how do you find those? How do you find those people? I'm trying to imagine. Like Rogers is my internet service provider, and I'll call them to talk to salespeople, to talk to you know, technical help. Are those the kind of guys that you're placing?
Those are some of the guys that we're placing. Yes, absolutely. I've hired, 5,000 people for collections agents for Comcast. So, I mean, and I've done all their tech support, all their.
How do you hire 5,000 people over what period of time? I've never got involved in this high volume staffing. I want to know what we're talking how it works.
Proprietary animal.
No, three and a half years. 5,000.
Three and
people.
A half years. So how do you find 5,000 people?
Well, that's the trick there. See, you got to utilize every option that you have. It's all about practice.
Maureen, give me a break, okay? Go ahead. Just talk. Don't stop talking, Omi. Just keep going.
Sorry, I just keep getting interrupted. It's difficult
to talk
like that.
Don't worry about that.
Wow.
Get the culture.
This guy's edgy.
Just talk.
Are we talking about
through.
Practice?
Just keep talking. Talk. Go ahead now. Do it.
Okay, so the bottom line is this, is that I'm not going to sit here and tell you every single way that we go out and source and proprietarily find all these people. All
tell
I'm going to tell
three.
You is that's not what we're here for. Is that what you want from us? If that's what you want,
yeah,
we want examples.
We like to get nitty-gritty. Now, if just say, like I hear you saying, I'm not going to tell you. Maureen, just be quiet for a second, Maureen. Okay, so – I understand, but tell us, is there anything, like, we're really curious about how other recruiters work. That's what this show is usually about. People come on and they tell us how they work, you know, how do you source people? How do you do business development? How do you interview people? Do you reference check? Do you leave voicemail? That's what we usually ask people. I'm getting into that part of the show. You can tell me everything I do is secret. I'm not going to share it with you. Or you can say, look, I worked on this job recently. This is how, you know, I found 50 people for one company in 3 months, and this is how I did it. So I'm really curious. I've never done that kind of work. You want to tell us or not?
It's a numbers game. It's all about attacking every single option that you have out there, sourcing wise. It's a numbers game. It's about
you
putting
work on Facebook. I'll give you a multiple choice. And BJ Warner, feel
well,
free
I'll give
to
you
jump.
Some answers because I do most of the talent search. Omid does a lot of clients where he actually uses his relationships with them. So I do a lot of the placements with him.
Go ahead.
So I would say that the. I do a lot of different things. I do mass texting. I actually buy lists of data of people in certain age groups. I do just crazy things. I use Indeed. I use basically every big job posting thing. But I've got software that pulls out everyone's information that meets certain criteria, and then I'm able to mass communicate with everyone at once.
Oh, you mean like
Outlook? I even have software where I can it's not Outlook.
Broadlook.
I do use a
Mailmer. You don't know the company. We've got a friend of the show, Donato Diorio, and he runs a company that, you know, it goes he's got the software called Broadlook. It goes out and scrapes the internet for, you know, whatever you're looking for and gives you a lot of information
and
email.
Yeah, I use a scraper.
Like
I mean, Broadlook is I'm familiar. Scraper. I've got eGrabber. I mean, there's a ton of different scrapers, and they're all for different things. And so I even have scrapers that go in and will pull everyone's information out of, you know, I got 10,000 resumes in a folder. It'll pull everyone's information out of those and put them all into a spreadsheet for me.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's all kinds
pays,
of different things.
Who pays for that, you guys or Tima?
I do.
Okay.
Yep.
So
it's all
that's
mine.
Your own. Okay. And so And that could be expensive. So the thing is, what about, like, we've got another friend of the show, Bill Boorman. He's the guy who first introduced us to mass recruiting on Facebook. Have you found that successful for these kind of jobs?
You know, I have. So I join a lot of groups, and I'll do posts and different things. You know, Facebook, if done right, Facebook could probably be the very best, because there's more users in Facebook than anything else out there, more than LinkedIn, more than anything, especially for lower level kind of positions. There's a lot more of, you know, less professional people on Facebook, and where less of those people are on LinkedIn. And so, you know, I do use a lot of Facebook, but I don't use a super significant amount of it.
Because we've been hearing tons about Facebook advertising really gives you a good
PPC,
bang for the buck.
PPC, I think PPC, I've done PPC inside Facebook, and that works pretty good. I've done pretty good with it, to a landing page and have people put in their information or send a resume. And it's done pretty good.
So Tima, you guys don't share your you don't have a big database of candidates. You've all got your own candidate silo.
We do.
Is that... Go ahead.
We have a giant database, so we all use the same CRM.
Yeah, but then you're spending your own money to get these thousands of names, and then you're dumping it into the database, and other people are going to use them, and they didn't invest any money in getting them.
Well, they're tagged to each person individually, and no one else is allowed to use them.
Oh no, but actually, but if they see some, so let's say I pick up a job order, and then one of your guys comes up on my search, do I get in touch with you to work with me on that? Is that how it works?
Yes.
What if I find them some other way?
Yeah.
No,
what
yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you guys.
No, go Omi.
Yes.
That's the way the show works. You
that's
interrupt,
what we do.
Okay. You want to talk?
Okay, I apologize. But yes, there. Once a person is deemed as the candidate, ownership is deemed for that particular talent manager or recruiter, what happens is that they have the ability, and of course there's guidelines around that we have in regards to, you know, if you haven't spoken to the person in a certain duration of time, then you, you know, a person can just be taken. But the fact of the matter is that we have high integrity here at Tima. It's one of the most important things for us here. So what we do is we reach out to the person who found that particular candidate, and we use a particular type of, I guess, way of splitting that with them. And so,
yeah, but hold on a second. Jerry said,
what if I'm out recruiting on my own, find this guy? Turns out he's already in the database, but that's not where I found him.
Then you still have to go through the database. The database is where we kind of – that's our hub. And so the hub for us is the database, and making sure that we are not stepping on each other's toes, and that we aren't doing things that are outside of what Tima guidelines are. Mm. And so, yeah, if you find a person they're already in the system, then that really wasn't your person if they're already in the system.
No, I'm saying if I find a person that is not – no, if I go out and I meet a guy at a bar –
yep.
His name's Larry.
Yep.
Larry's a perfect candidate for me. I come back to my office in the morning.
That's an interesting type of recruiting right there.
Yeah.
Well, okay. If I meet him at church, I meet him at a GitHub meeting.
We're in Utah, so church works out really well for us out here.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, but Jerry, he answered
Regardless of how I find the guy, if I find somebody outside of my desk looking through the Tima database, that's what I want to know.
Hey,
if the person's already in there.
If you're part of Tima and they're already in the database.
Yeah, but that's not how I found them.
Doesn't matter. You're screwed.
Doesn't matter.
I wouldn't go for that.
Nope.
Yeah, you can't place them. If they're already in there, they're not yours.
Jerry,
wow.
You should have checked the database. You should have checked
the
database.
That is absurd.
There is a time constraint, though.
What's so absurd about it? I want to know. So I'm asking you a question. What's so absurd about that? I got to know.
You seriously don't understand what I would find absurd about if I go out and recruit somebody.
Generally, you ask questions when you want to know something. So, yeah, that's why I asked you.
That's unacceptable.
You know, Jerry, you should have.
Hold on a minute. Let me find the right words to explain this thoughtfully here.
Okay.
I disagree with that.
what's happening is you are the TEMA database approach really discourages me from going out to do my own recruiting.
Yikes.
No, it doesn't.
If I go out and I recruit somebody, and it turns out Mary from some other office put this guy in there 5 months ago.
No, you check the database first. Check the database first, right? It's there. Why not use it?
Check the database. As if check the database is 100% effective. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, look, I got
to
do an ad. I have to
do you guys
have,
like, subscribe to, like, Ancestry.com? And
okay. Nothing ruins the flow of a discussion than sticking an ad in here.
I got to do an ad,
we're talking
okay.
about if I go out and recruit somebody
if
outside
working,
of the database,
if you're working,
then I'm penalized. I find that ridiculous.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I've been with TEMA for the last 2 years, and that's only happened to me a couple times, and I've recruited well over 1,000 people now.
Okay, then your focus is probably inside of the database more than outside, unless you're too
soon. No, I focus on the outside. I brought in a lot of people, but the difference is we're not, like, people aren't subject, you know, you got your other staffing firms, your Robert Half's and things, where you're all subject to a state or a certain area.
Yeah.
We're not like that. You can work any area you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, people are spread out across North America and Canada. And so there's only a few people here in Utah. If I go out and find someone here, it's slim to none.
I can picture that.
In the database.
That would make sense.
And so... So
okay,
it's
I
got to
do an ad. Let me
out.
Just do an ad. I don't want to mute everybody. I got to do an ad, okay?
Yeah,
hey, everybody.
Calm down, everyone.
A free ad.
One day I'm going to get paid, Jerry. He'll pay someday.
It ruins the show.
Your ship will
come
in.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It does.
Okay?
Jerry, maybe
we're having a meaningful discussion, and now it's...
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
You know what ruins the show? You interrupting me every 2 seconds, okay? Here we go. Just stop and I'll be finished, okay? Hey, everybody. Have you ever come across an article that divides people into four types? You know, they give you the emotional type, the rational type, the friendly guy, and the pushy type. And, you know, these articles tell you that if you want to sell to people, you should be able to identify them on the spot as one of these types and then adjust your behavior to suit them. But I have to admit that this has never worked for me. And you know why? Because I find most people hard to figure out. Even someone with a strong personality like Jerry's, right? Is he friendly or pushy or emotional or reasonable?
Oh, I'm friendly.
He seems to be all of them to me. I don't know what he is, right? And I got to tell you, it's the exact same in recruiting software. Some people tell you to get software that is suited to a certain kind of recruiting, you know, be it direct employment, direct hire, staffing, or executive search. But my sponsor, PC Recruiter, they don't try to change to fit someone's special needs. They embrace everybody from the get-go. PC Recruiter is built to handle every kind of recruiting. They love everybody. And if you want to feel their embrace, go to PCRecruiter.com. That's PCRecruiter.com. And the boss there is our good friend Martin Snyder. Thank you. Okay, do we still have to argue about using the database? I have one more question about that.
Oh, that's what we're talking about?
One second.
I've been here researching vacation properties.
Yeah, okay. I got to tell
you,
I think these guys, BJ and Omi, they're good guests. I mean, they're talkers. I like them. I mean, even though Omi is reluctant to share any secrets, at least he's saying something. Not everybody likes to talk. But I got another question. This one's for Omi. How about business development? How do you do? Can you teach us how you pick up business, or is that a trade secret?
Well, there's a lot of trade secrets. I keep everything pretty close to the cuff on that.
Okay,
but
so
you know what?
You're a nice guy, but you're not a good guest. The other guy, he's willing to talk
with
us.
Oh, come on. I'm a great guest. I was
you don't
want to
share.
Jerry
everything's proprietary, like Maureen said. Okay, so
it's about hitting the pavement. What do you want me to – you guys, come on now.
I'll ask you a question.
I've been doing this for 20 years now, and you're telling me that I don't have proprietary information about how I go about my business development?
I'll ask you a few questions.
Can I ask a question?
That's a crazy statement.
Not
until
I get to ask a question. He's talking
over me. I want to ask about the back office that these guys are paying for. Are those the people that are responsible for all the typos and the various weirdness, misspellings? I'm on teamagroup.com looking at the team. Right under you, Omid, is Nikki
Where
Buchanan. Nikki
Gosh,
Buchanan. And her write-up says, Doug is passionate about the business of technology. I'm just fine. That you guys here with
no
me?
Yeah, I don't. I apologize. I'm not looking at the same thing you're looking at.
Let's all look at the same thing.
Well,
I mean,
you know what? We can't go
no,
looking there.
No, I'm just asking. I mean, like,
no,
yeah, I'm just thinking perfection is what our goal should be out here, and I'm just noticing.
I know.
I'm
Let's
noticing that you guys
page.
Are spending money towards a bunch of typos and stuff, and
yeah.
I'm just
yeah, I
bringing
say,
that
you
to your
know,
point.
Like,
hey, Jerry, if you want, I can teach you where a colon goes and a semicolon if you want. Do you want me to
no,
talk about
let's,
it?
Let's
no, I'm
just
saying you guys are weighing 20% of this. I'd tell him to tighten the ship. That's all I'm saying.
Mean, he's got a point. He's got a good point. I'm with Jerry
yeah,
on this.
It doesn't
you
do you any good.
I'm not. I'm just saying, man.
We're trying to help.
Yeah.
You're trying to help me? 20 years of
We're trying to help.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
My 30 years of experience is trying to lay some info on your 20.
Hey, Jerry.
You have 50 years here.
Just having some fun, guys.
Since you have 30 years of experience, it baffles me why you would ask me how you could find somebody in a bar and expect them to be your candidate
We're
somewhere.
We're trying to help.
Without,
let's
without
go.
Having,
let's stay
without,
on point.
Sorry, let him finish his statement.
What happens? Hold on. What happens if a person right before that, right before your night out at the club, with your
Would you knock it off with the night out at the club?
Yeah, let's stay on point.
No, hear me out.
I understand you guys are in Utah. I mean,
no,
I can dig that.
Let's say
you're at a networking event.
On,
you've been
Jerry,
at a conference all
on,
day.
Jerry.
I'm going to go ahead and talk
years,
over you.
Years,
you've been
you
at a conference
not,
all day, and everybody's going to stop by for a few hors d'oeuvres before they go back and study for the evening. You meet a guy there. That's what I'm talking about.
So you're not very good at business development, obviously, because you have two mouths
no,
in
I'm,
one ear.
How long have you been doing this on your own? How long have you been?
I don't know why we need to go to the personal attacks.
No, I'm just trying to.
No, I'm fine with business development.
My question is,
I can do my own back office, which is fine with me.
Okay, break it up.
I don't understand.
Break it up. Break it up. Okay.
I have a question.
That's unacceptable.
What is?
That's unacceptable.
I've got to talk. I have to talk. Omi, do you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
so,
ahead.
Aside from everything else, what happened if the same person that you spoke to, wherever it was, Jerry, spoke to somebody the day before, and that same, and a person from your same organization across the nation or whatever spoke to that person and told them about an opportunity? As a candidate, wouldn't you say, yes, I'm interested in that, just like when the next day when you spoke to them, they would say the same exact thing? I mean, your 30 years of experience would tell you that.
Okay,
yes,
hold on
right?
a second. You know what? Let's forget about the database. Everybody understands it. I just want to know, for instance, you're
Who's got the screaming baby?
If somebody's got a baby in the background. I'm going to have to mute somebody if they don't, you know, don't kill the kid. Just shut them up, okay? You're up. Maybe 484. I'll try to mute them. Okay, because the last.
I'm people... just saying, if I recruit someone.
No! I got to stop.
No, it's an important.
No,
obviously, it's an important
you,
subject.
Okay? Let me.
If I don't
on.
Use the database to recruit the person, I'm
not
going to give
the
half
database.
The credit
Forget
to somebody that
database.
Put them in there 6 months ago. That's all I'm saying.
That's why we have guidelines, Jerry. There's guidelines
hey,
around
hey,
that.
Hey!
Not
hey.
Right.
Guidelines, not general either.
But what would I know? I'm just stumbling around drunk as shit in bars looking for people. You know what I mean? I've been at this so long, I don't even know where I am.
You're talking about typos.
Looking for my wallet and keys.
That's crazy.
Hey.
We were just talking about typos, and you just cursed online.
You know what, Omi? I gotta tell you, Omi, he's right about that. Allison J. Cruz just posted on Twitter. You've got an old Twitter profile that's, you know, full of spelling mistakes. You don't know how to spell, you know, professional properly. I'm not faulting you for that, but you should be able to correct
that. I don't even know. I don't even know where you're looking at that. I have
yeah,
no idea.
Trying to
help you. Somebody, you should
yeah.
get rid of that. That's
well,
bad.
Criticizing. Don't
that's
get
bad.
Defensive.
I'm being positive.
Well, I agree with you guys. If there's something out there from 10, 20 years ago that is on there and you guys took the time to search for it, great. I apologize.
You didn't have the time to search. You put your name in. It's the first thing that comes out. Just like
BJ. Our heart in our hands.
BJ Warner, he's got a Twitter address, and that his link is bjwarner.com. It's a dead link. I mean, you guys should correct that. What Jerry said, you know, you actually, your head office or your central office with the social media. That's all he was saying, and I agree. You guys sound very smart. We're not putting you down. Don't get defensive. I said you were good guys. Now you're trying to prove me wrong? Don't do that, okay?
I'm not trying to say that that's not there. I'm just trying to say, well, first and foremost, what does that really have to do with recruiting at this moment?
Let me tell you right
that's
away shocking. What it has to do.
Omi,
listen to me for a second. I'll let you talk. But all the thought leaders, and I agree with them about this, they say that your personal brand as a recruiter is very important now, because when you contact people, the first thing they're going to do is look you up online. And if your LinkedIn profile is 20 years old and it's got spelling mistakes, that's not going to reflect you very well. I believe what you're telling us. You've got 20 years of experience. You're a smart guy. You speak very well. Why should you have that trash there coming up in people's faces when they look at you? That's all I'm saying.
Well stated.
No, you're right.
Okay?
Yeah, you're right about that. I'll definitely look into taking that other page down.
Yeah, but what he's saying is Pima should be helping you. Pima should be helping you guys with it, and they shouldn't be
making
mistakes.
That's all I'm saying.
On their own. But let me move on. Can I get to business development? Do you phone people or do you use email?
I use every single avenue, but usually what I like to do is go out and go hit the streets, make conversations with people, talk to people. I'm old school in that way.
Do not enter a bar, though. Do not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't
go to a bar or a restaurant.
Business.
You go to meetings or trade associations or like what are we talking about? What's the point of first contact? It used to be phone, but lots of people on the show are telling us it's email now. And Blake seems to use email for his first point of contact with the candidates, if I'm not mistaken. So
I use email. I've noticed I use a lot of texting actually as well. Even I've noticed, especially with professionals, I'll call and while they're at work, whatever it is, but I get more response from texting them than I even do calling.
Okay, from texting, they don't mind the first contact coming through a text from someone they don't know?
I mean,
know,
it depends how you say it. You call first and then say, hey, I tried giving you a call. You know, I noticed you're this and this and this. Please call me once you have just a moment. I'm sure you're busy, you know, or something to the
So you do
to
try
effect,
to call
but,
first? You do try to call
usually I do. But it depends on the level of them. I mean, if they're not very professional, oftentimes I'll just send texts. Like every great once in a while, you have someone that's with just a little bit of animosity. Every great once in a while. But for the most part, these are all people wanting a job, and they're very, very quick to respond.
So these are people that are looking for jobs.
Yeah, typically. I mean,
really?
You know,
are you recruiting people away from their current jobs?
We do a lot of passive.
Often.
Passive recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the best candidates come from.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, in lower level positions, a lot of times.
Because,
no.
You know, we've
heard
about it,
leaving.
But for first contact is through text. We haven't heard about it a lot. I mean, that's still in our realm, at least from what I've heard, that's very rare. You're saying it's one of your major approaches. Am I right about that, Blake?
It's a big approach that I use. Yes. Text and email, I'd say oftentimes I'm doing that, and then people that don't respond, I call.
Okay,
usually what I do with lower-level people.
Email as well. But so text, what percentage of first contact goes through text? 50%, 30%,
40%? Probably 50%.
50%, okay. And just what will the text say? Can you give us an idea?
You know, some of it depends on the role. I mean, a lot of times if they're more professional, it's got to be very personalized. If it's something very basic, I'll say, hey, I found your resume on Monster. I'd love to talk to you as soon as you get a moment. Please call me ASAP about this position. Here's my number.
Really?
Express urgency.
So you're texting people that are actually posting on Monster or Career Builder looking for
someone. I'll use my scrapers and pull, 2,000 numbers, and then I've got servers and things that'll send out the messages, and
Okay,
all kinds
but
of things,
like
but
Olmi, Olmi is approaching what VPs or directors? Are you free to talk about that? Look, if you don't want to talk about it at all, I won't ask any questions.
No,
this
I totally
is
do. I totally do. I was just waiting for you.
Okay, so you're approaching those guys. Now, when I don't know if you were joking when you said you hit the street or if you use the phone. I imagine you're not texting them. Am I right?
No, I never text them. So what I generally do is I try to inundate a company. I find out what their org chart looks like. I try to go up and down two directions in each direction from each position. Because what I'd like to do is I like to get into companies and not just work on one vertical with them. I like to be an extension of their HR. And that's part of the more, you know, I like to partner with my companies. And the only way to do that is by creating, you know, really, really good, strong rapport with the people that matter, the key decision makers, obviously, but not just them. I go to everybody. I go all the way down to the gatekeeper and try to win them over as well. However, when I am out there, I'm spending a lot of time building rapport with them and then finding out what the next opportunity is within that company, because there's always more opportunities in each company than people actually know about. So I try to go in and be that. And then what happens is you start to become part of that company almost. And that's when the true partnership comes into play. And
well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. When you say building rapport, what does that mean exactly? It's a kind of a nebulous term.
Sure, sure. What I mean by that is building a good relationship with the person and almost on a level of friendship, if you can. That's ideally the way that I'd like to do it, because I like to talk to people. I'm a people person. I love giving presentations, you know, RFPs, QBRs, things of that sort. I love that. So I try to build a relationship with them so there's trust there, because sometimes, and in regards to, you know, different opportunities in regards to call centers, for instance, if they don't have trust in you, they're not going to give you access to
their
ATS.
How are they going to trust you if they don't know you already? Like, and when, like, no. Building rapport, you know, we've got an ongoing conversation on my Facebook group. You know, some people say, hey, you know, this is strictly business. We don't have to talk to people about their kids and their birthdays and, you know, our favorite sports team.
You don't have to.
No, they say you don't have to. But you say you're building rapport. You're a people person. Is that the kind of thing you actually talk about? I want to know what building rapport, you know, means at a very specific, granular level.
Yeah, yeah. So what I do is when I go in and I see a person, I read that person and I find out which direction I need to go. Like, for instance, I have one client that she doesn't want to talk at all unless it's business. It's just straight up, you know, hey, you know, we need to get this done right now. This is it. I don't have time to talk to you any longer and blah, blah, blah. We go that direction. Then we email each other and that's one. But then I have other clients in which I'm talking about.
Can I interrupt? I just want to ask a question. Do you do that on the phone or are you talking about face-to-face?
I like to go in face to face, but if I don't have the means to do that, then I definitely go over the phone with them or Skype them.
Again, let me interrupt, please. Can you read people on the phone?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If she tells you get off the phone, like you just said, it doesn't take too much reading. I mean, I talked at the beginning that I can't read people, but if they say, hey, I have no time to talk with you, there's not any mystery there. I'm going to give you guys some feedback because I know you're kind of, you know, concerned about this, but you both sound really good at what you do. I mean, this Blake, he goes out and spends, I assume, thousands of dollars on technology that's going to bring him the kind of people he needs. He knows what he's doing. And you sound like a professional salesman, Olmi. And yet you both decided to throw your lot in with another company, with this team up, rather than going on your own. So if Jerry says that's an ad for your company, I guess it's not a direct ad. You're not paying me. But it speaks well for them that they would attract the kind of quality that you guys seem to have as recruiters. Okay, so I'm giving you some positive feedback, and I'm going to do another ad. This is a very short one, okay? And you can reply to what I said. And now a word from our sponsor, PC Recruiter. Everyone is claiming that text and social media are now the hot new forms of communication, but everybody knows, even, you know, besides from what Blake said, everybody knows that email still rules the roost, at least with most of us. And PC Recruiter handles email the way you want it handled. It works with your mobile phone accounts and always shows you're connected, you're sent, and received email for every candidate and hiring authority. Was someone going to say something? Thank you, PCRecruiter.com. Was someone going to say something about the quality of a recruiter that the team tracks? Because I'm impressed, I have to say. I think they sound pretty good. Maureen, what do you think? They sound like
they
know
sound
what they're
good.
Doing.
They sound great on the radio. They sound great.
Uh-huh.
Their voices
Gary,
are great.
Gary, are you still there, or did you know, go?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, what do you
their
think
voices.
Of these guys? You want to give us
voices.
A – I think you're probably a little more negative than me, and that's okay. I want to hear what you have to say.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Kelly Blojic has a really interesting question, and it's going back to call centers
block
and proprietary information.
Block
Let me
dive.
Ask it
block
because
dive.
It's interesting. She's
Go
asking
ahead.
If geography matters with call center labor availability. I don't think that's too proprietary.
Okay, Rob McIntosh. Yeah, hold on. Rob McIntosh says, I like the tweets about the show more than the show these days. Well, call in and help me with the show, okay? You're smart enough. You're a professional. Maybe you're on the line now. I don't know. Help me out. This is an open forum, okay? Don't just criticize me.
Easy to criticize. Ask it, but can we get an answer for Kelly? She's a
Doug,
good listener.
Ask the question one more time. I'm sorry.
She's asking if geography matters with call center labor availability.
Call center, yeah, absolutely, it does matter. There are lots of places in which, you know, call centers will try to focus on, for instance, going out and building a call center in a small town where they know that they can have, you know, smaller overhead and things of that sort. But then they also do things where they put their call center next to a college town. But it, as far as geography goes, it does matter. It matters, and it depends on what the going rates are in each, you know, each area, in each location, how many people are available, what the unemployment rate is a big one. Trying to find out, you know, if the unemployment rate in the location that you're looking at is, you know, for instance, in Utah, it's 2.8% right now, which makes it difficult for us.
There are a lot of call centers in Utah, aren't there?
There are a lot. Yeah, there's mm-hmm. a ton. Actually, we're talking about this. They're calling it the Silicon Valley of call centers mm-hmm. in Provo right now. And so that's one of the,
Doesn't LinkedIn have a call center in Utah?
Say that again?
LinkedIn, don't they have a call center in Utah?
I don't know if they have a call center here, but they definitely have an office here. But yeah, I heard
everywhere. I have to address. I have to address Chad Balbi. He said, "Look, these two guys gave the least amount of real examples, and you're impressed by them. You know what? You're right. I got to tell you. You know,
I'm impressed by their voices. They have good voices.
Yeah, but they know. They sound like they know what they're doing. They just don't want to share it with us that much. Actually, Blake gave us a pretty good idea of what he does. He didn't give us the exact tools, names of the tools he uses, but we have a pretty good idea. But they sound like they know what they're doing. That's what I said. They're not just losers who went to Tima. They're people who are quite capable. That's the impression I have. Could they give us more real-life examples that the
Absolutely.
Show needs? Yes, Chad Balbi, I agree with you about that. And maybe that's what Rob McIntosh is complaining about. And I know that Rob also doesn't like it when we can't hear anybody say any one thing because everybody's talking over each other all the time. And you know
but
what?
But you're just interrupting Animal, and he was just giving us
that.
Some real-time information.
I'm the boss here. I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want, and you have to listen to me. I give a lot of leeway to people.
Are you
going to
cut my pay?
What pay? What pay? Hey, who's listening to the show back there? Okay. So you guys, does social media play any role at all in your work? Omi doesn't seem to have Twitter. Blake, you know, hasn't posted anything on his Twitter account since April. Does it play any part in your work, first, Blake? Blake, is he still there? No.
I'm not sure if he got kicked off or not. I'm sorry. Can you?
There's another line. Oh, is that you, Blake?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Does social media play any part in your work at all?
You know, it does. I do use a lot of LinkedIn. In fact, I use a ton of LinkedIn. I know some recruiters use a lot. Hello?
Yeah, you dropped out. So, okay. So LinkedIn is just a resume database. We don't consider it social media. Like Twitter, you haven't posted since April. It's not an important tool for you. Am I right about that?
No, I haven't gotten a lot of response. I use, you know, I've used every kind of hashtag there ever was. And I think it might be, you know, I don't exactly know. I know that there are a lot of professionals on Twitter, and people have done really good recruiting with Twitter. But for whatever reason, with the candidates that I search for, it hasn't been very effective. So I haven't focused on it at all.
Okay. And Omi, do you use Twitter at all or any kind of social media?
I don't utilize Twitter, but I do use my Facebook. And just so you know, Blake has like 9,600 people on LinkedIn, which is significant. And, you know, I think I have, what, close to 3,000 people on LinkedIn. So, and Facebook as well, I have quite a few people on there. So I do utilize that sometimes when I'm doing.
Okay, what kind of LinkedIn accounts do you guys use? And so you pay for them yourself. You don't get a recruiter account from Tima or anything like that, do you?
We don't get one, but we get a big, big discount. Yeah. So pretty much everything, Tima will go in and negotiate and say, hey, we'll give you access, you know, everyone within our company, 300, whatever it is, and then you give us a deal. So they've got a really good deal.
Oh, and so you get volume, so, you know, volume we're able purchase. To, okay.
Yeah, we get big volume discounts. And so if you do pay for it, you are – now, Tima does provide everyone a monster account. That is the one tool that they do provide. But as far as anything else, so if you want to pay for recruiter, you know, you got to do that one.
So you get a free monster account?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're at the end here. I have a question. Like, the Omi has in his picture on the company site. He's a handsome fellow, well dressed. He's got like that 5-day beard. And he says he likes to go out and meet people, that Italian look, okay? Is that okay? Does that go over well with your clients?
It goes over so well. It depends on, you know, the confidence, how you carry yourself. I was a professional athlete before all this, you know, mumbo jumbo. I did a lot of you know, stuff as a professional athlete. So I'm not a small person either. So I like to have a walk with confidence. If you saw me today, you would see that I have a ponytail that is actually very long because I donate to Locks of Love every year. Now, when I walk into places, especially in Utah, to be able to gain traction or to be able to even get through the door with a ponytail, you can probably imagine it's very difficult. It just all depends on how you you go about presenting yourself, how you speak to the person, and it really comes down to fulfillment. If you can fulfill for any client, really, they will be your client for as long as you fulfill for them, because everybody knows in this industry it's not about what you've done, it's about what have you done lately. And
okay,
that's,
you know what, I'm pressed for time, and the famous Sister Allison Cruz, who's a speaker, okay, at every conference, she's got a question for you. She wants to know how you use Facebook specifically. Chad Balbi, you know, the Twitter guys, they're telling me they're right. He's saying, you said you pound the pavement. I didn't give you a pushback. You know, I got Rob McIntosh telling me what to do with you guys. These guys are right. There's been defects in our interview. If you want to come back another time, you're welcome to do so, but you know how it's going to work. We're going to drill down. But I want you to see, Omi, if you can answer this question before we go. From Allison Cruz. She's a speaker. She's a famous person. How does he use Facebook specifically? Real examples, please. Got anything to say to Sister Allison?
Yes. I actually use Facebook for a different reason than I use LinkedIn. But Facebook I utilize more so for checking on candidates and things of that sort because I want to see what they're doing. I have a large database of people within my Facebook here in Utah. And I want to find out the people that I'm hiring, whether or not they're going to, you know, what their lifestyles are like and whatnot before I present them. It's also good to see what's going on with your decision makers, your KDMs, because let's say, for instance, you know, I see that one of the people that I'm working with, one of the clients that I'm working with online is putting a frowny face up there or is, you know, saying that they are not doing well or that something's going wrong, you know, and you can see that. What happens if I show up the next day with some goodies or I show up there and talk to them and say, hey, you know what, I just want to take you to lunch and see what's going on. That's very valuable because that you're showing them that, you know, the side of you that is not just business, it's friendship as well. And that also creates that rapport that we keep talking about as well. But LinkedIn is what I usually go for business development wise. I look on LinkedIn more so than I do on MySpace. On Facebook. Facebook is something that I use more so for catching what people's personal lives are and then trying to not exploit it, but trying to, you know, take a look at that and see what I can do to build better relationships and things of that sort, because this is all about relationships and relationship building. You know, business development is all about relationships. It is.
Okay. I hope she's satisfied with that. I got to ask Jerry, is there an after show? Jerry, is there an after show?
No, I'm too drunk, man.
Okay.
Jerry, you don't want to talk to me?
Find out there.
I missed my third ad from PC Recruiter, Jerry.
Oh,
PC
man.
Recruiter sends you. It's
can't stand up
not
anymore.
I don't know. Anyway, remember, everybody, PC Recruiter is the sponsor of this show. I want to thank Blake Warner and Omi Kispa. You know what? Usually I think you guys are going to be better, so we can, you know, there's always lots to talk about, but both of them had a lot to say. It might have been better if I would have handled them independently. Either of you are welcome to come back. Thank you, everybody on Twitter, for your good advice. And that's it. Maureen, anything you want to say? A whisper or anything like that? No? Okay, yeah, you were whispering during my ad. Okay, I heard you. Thank you!